This is the beginning of the second section of the interview, lasting through track 11. Here, the discussion turns to Ken Wilber's basic theory and methodology. We start with a discussion of the philosopher Albert North Whitehead and how Ken's views on inner subjectivity are different than Whitehead's. We then cover a variety of ground, from what Ken calls the Two Truths doctrine, to reincarnation, to the general way that Ken always tries to incorporate as much that is true from as many sources as possible.
Okay, let's switch tacks, if we may, and talk a little bit about different theoretical aspects of your work.
Uh-huh.
The first one is, I've been reading some of the stuff on Hollande and inner subjectivity, and the disagreements and Whitehead and De Quincey,
right,
and prehension and all this,
right,
stuff.
Right.
And I'm not very versed in this stuff, but as I read it, it almost feels to me like this is heading towards, you know, the scholastic arguments about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin.
Right.
Seems like there's no way to prove any of this at this point. And yeah, maybe you could get a theory that was a little bit more balanced and,
right,
elegant, a little bit more in line,
right,
with Occam's razor. But it seems to me that this could be kind of a theoretical cul-de-sac where,
right,
you, for example, could end up spending a lot of, you know, your time arguing about, you know, the prehension of quarks. And it's,
right,
like, you know, who the hell knows?
Right.
I mean, what's the point of all this?
Well, I think that's a good point. But I'll give you one example of why it's not just how many angels dancing on the head of a pin, and why Whitehead does not have a truly transpersonal spiritual understanding of inner subjectivity. Whitehead pointed out that in the real world, there can be no simultaneity for two different subjects. In other words, your subjectivity and my subjectivity can never be co-present with each other. And his reasoning went as follows. By the time I say something and it gets to you so that you perceive my present,
mm-hmm,
it's already passed.
Sure.
So for Whitehead, memory and perception are basically the same thing. There is no simultaneous now for any two subjects anywhere in the universe. Now, in the manifest realm, he's right. Unless you're going to start postulating faster than light information transfer, in the manifest realm, there is no simultaneity for two subjects. Now, what that really means is there's no real intersubjectivity. All we're really dealing with each other is memories and shades of the past. We can never be present for each other in any radical, true sense.
So monads?
Huh?
In effect, monads?
Monads, windowless monads in a certain sense, but for Whitehead, the subject prehends an object, so it's relational. But the two subjects together, one subject cannot prehend its contemporaries, only its ancestors. So there is no simultaneity for Whitehead. Now, I agree with him in the manifest realm that that's correct. And either De Quincey or David Ray Griffin or any other Whiteheadian disagrees with Whitehead on that. They're stuck with the fact that there is no real intersubjectivity. Now, my simple point is that if you bring in the non-dual traditions that maintain all of them, that there are at least two truths. One is the truth of the relative realm, and one is an absolute or non-dual awareness. On the relative realm, we grant what Whitehead says. There is no simultaneity for two different subjects. But in the absolute realm, there is, because in the absolute realm, there's only one subject. There's only one self. As Schrödinger put it, consciousness is a singular, the plural of which is unknown. Now, that's why you can have simultaneous subjects, because there's only one subject on the absolute side of existence. So the single Atman in me, or the single transcendental self in me, is identical in you. And that's why we can have a subject-to-subject co-presence with each other. It's very real and very immediate, and does not exist merely in the stream of temporal realization. So
can we both feel it at the same,
yeah,
time? So if you and I feeling,
you feel it right now.
If we focus on including David's sitting over here, and just focusing on yours, does it change? And does the feeling change?
What changes is the manifest side of that transcendental witness. All of the forms are constantly shifting. And so when the transcendental self looks out through your eyes, it's going to see, obviously, a different perspective on this room than if it's simply looking out through my eyes. But it's identically the same self. And that's realized in states known variously as Satori. The basic realization of Satori is, I am that I am, and that's all that is this single consciousness that is one taste of everything arising moment to moment. That gives you a capacity for intersubjectivity radically beyond anything Whitehead ever presented. And so my point is simply that we want to take both of these things into account when we're talking about both subjectivity and intersubjectivity. On the relative plane, where what Whitehead said is more or less accurate, and in the absolute plane, where consciousness is a singular of which the plural is unknown, and that's why we can't have knowledge of other minds, because there's only one mind.
Got it.